Well, good morning, everybody. Glad you're here. So, no, I don't normally wear yellow. No, I don't normally wear actually button-up sleeve, short-sleeve shirts. And no, I don't normally wear pineapples with sunglasses on them. All right, this is not how I roll. I've seen some of the eyes that you've been seeing when you saw me, and you're like, that doesn't look right. Yeah, I agree, 100%. So the reason, though, is it's very simple, it's very clear. We are wearing, a lot of us are wearing yellow today because tomorrow morning, early in the morning, we're going to get on two big coach buses, and we're going to take off. We're going to Indiana for NTS, Never the Same Camp. And that's going to be awesome. And at the end of the service today, we're going to actually have everybody come up here, all the students and parents and all that leaders that are going, gather up here, and we're going to pray for them after each of the services. And so this is a special day to be able to do that. But before we get into that, let's hear from God's word. So if I say the word rest, what do you think of when I say the word rest? Maybe you think of sleeping in your bed. Some of you are like, oh, don't do that. I wish I was in my bed right now. Some of you went there. You're like, oh, yeah, that would be nice. Right? Some of you think you're sleeping in your bed. Some of you think of your favorite chair, maybe a recliner, right? And you're kicked back. Maybe you have a good book. Maybe you have a fire going. Probably not in this season, I know. Right? And you're thinking that's rest. Some of you, it's the recliner, but it's like a Netflix series that you can binge watch for 4 hours. That's rest, right? What do you think of when you think of rest? A lot of times when we hear the word rest, I missed one for my wife. Sitting on the sand, watching the waves. How many of you are like, okay, there you go. Now you're talking rest, right? When we think of rest, we think of those things, don't we? Well, I want to shift our mentality of rest a little bit today. What if I were to give you a different image that means rest on a spiritual level? Not a physical, not even so much emotional, psychological level, but a spiritual level, a soul rest. So if you're thinking a different kind of rest, we think of recliners, we think of beaches, we think of, you know, sleeping, we think of whatever, but I'm gonna blow your mind today. It's an image I'm sure all of us think about when we think of rest. Here it is. Here's that image. Everybody love it? Everybody like, ooh, man, that makes me feel restful. Does anybody know what that is? What is it? Just shout it out. What is it? It's a yoke. Right? Not an egg yolk, but a yolk, right? It's a yolk. And a yolk is very simple. A yolk is designed to bind or connect or tie two things, usually in this case, oxen or animals, but it can be anything, tie two things together so that it keeps them focused, it keeps them moving the same direction, and it actually multiplies their strength, not by two, but by even more than that. It quadruples the strength if you put two together. A yoke connects two things, animals, people, focus together and keeps them moving in the right direction. Now, hold that thought for a while. We'll come back to it. So today, we are starting a brand new series, a 3-week series. It's just 3 weeks, very short, called Rest. Now, seriously, I'm asking this as an honest, serious question. How many of you would really like to have some rest? Today, tomorrow, at some point, anybody? Some of you are like, no, I'm good. Okay, you're weird. That's fine. No, I'm just kidding. I love you. All right? Jesus loves you. We need rest, right? Here's the deal. We're going to spend 3 weeks talking about rest. And if I were going to be honest, if somebody said, hey, what is one major thing that our culture lacks a lot? It's chronically lacking it. And I would say, rest. Genuine, real rest. In fact, I would say, I would go past it's chronically lacking in our culture. I would say that it's worse than that. I don't think we value rest. I don't think we even value it. I think we like it when we can sit down. Some of you are like, well, I kind of like my recliner. I kind of like watching Netflix. I get it. But I don't think that on a level that we realize how important rest is to our daily rhythm and life. I think we neglect it. I think we push it out. I think we deprioritize it. We put it down here. We hope we can have it, but it's not something that we fight for. I think we're not only chronically lacking, I don't think we even value rest. And so today, and for the next couple of weeks, we're gonna just talk about rest. I think it's really, really one of the most important things we can tackle. All right, so Jesus, as you would figure, he talked about rest and he modeled rest very, very well. And so I want to go into a part where he was talking to a crowd of people and Jesus starts explaining what rest is and the kind of rest that he can offer and how you get that rest, okay? So you probably have heard this scripture passage before, but let me read what Jesus says. Again, he's talking to a whole group of people explaining rest. Listen to this, Matthew 11, starting with verse 28. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you," what does it say? Rest. "Take my yoke upon you." There's that word yoke. "Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Okay, so there's a lot there. Jesus is saying some really important things. It's not real long, but there's a lot packed into that little bit that Jesus says. And so what I want to do is I want to go back and I want to go piece by piece, verse by verse, okay? So let's unpack it. We'll go back to the first verse. This is what Jesus said. It says, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." So the first thing that you notice is Jesus tells us we have to do something. Did you notice that? Right out of the gate, when we're talking about rest, Jesus says, you need to do something. And this is simply what it is. You've got to go to Jesus. Jesus says, "Come to me. I'm right here. Come to me." The first action step, if we want rest, is simple. Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. A lot of us think that that's simple, and it is simple in understanding, but it's not necessarily simple to do. Because of the yoke part, which it's too early, I'm not gonna get there yet. Some of you are, now you see where we're going. We're like, uh-uh. But Jesus says the first step is to choose me. Now, after that, he says, "Come to me," and then right after that, he tells us who can come to him. You know who can come to him? Says, "Come to me," what do you say? "All of you." This literally applies to every human being in this room, in this community, in the state, in the country, in the world. Jesus says, all of you are welcome. All of you are invited to join this rest, to come to me. You're all invited. Come sit at my table. I want you with me. And then he says, why? "Come to me, all of you," anybody, "because you're weary. You're carrying some burdens. You're frustrated. You're angry. That coworker is driving you nuts." Some of you are like, "Oh, you nailed it. That's it. My neighbor's driving me nuts." There you go. Right? Or whoever it is, you're carrying every burdens, you've got these things, and Jesus says, "I know. And so why? I have a solution. Come to me, because you're carrying weariness, you're carrying heavy burdens, and I want to give you" what? "I want to give you rest." This is for everybody. Now, I don't know about you, but that's beautiful. Come to me, because you're carrying a lot, And I'm going to take it from you, and then we're going to walk together, and I'm going to give you rest. Now, let me just ask this question. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to respond. This is kind of a rhetorical, but how many of you would say when Jesus says, hey, just come to me, I would like you to offload your burdens so that you can just have rest? How many of you would be like, no, thanks. I don't want rest. I'd prefer to just carry my own burdens. Thank you. Now, some of us in here might say that because Jesus is attached to it and you're skeptical of Jesus. It's okay. You have questions. That's okay. But what I would say is we all long for rest, like genuine rest, peace that is settled, that you're good, that things are good. And Jesus offers that. But here's the truth. Jesus doesn't just stop it, I'll give you rest. Does he? He doesn't say, come to me, all of you, weary, heavy burdens, and I'm going to give you rest. Then he goes on, and then he adds this weird thing in. Let's go to the next verse. What does he say? Right, this is the next word. Take my yoke upon you. What? I was thinking recliner Jesus. I was thinking the beach. Right? I was thinking you're going to send my coworker to a different company. That's what I was thinking. Not a yoke. Come on. The yoke doesn't look comfortable. Jesus says, I'm going to give you rest. Here's what you got to do. Take on my yoke. What? I'm guessing the crowd around him is like, say what? Come again? Let me teach you. Jesus says, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, once again, Jesus is telling us to do something. What is he telling us? He's saying, take on his yoke. Be tied, be bound, be connected with Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm going to give you rest, but I need you to do something. You need to choose me, and you need to take on my yoke. And then you're going to find rest. But we have to do this. Now, what in the world is Jesus talking about, this yoke thing? I don't know about you, but a yoke and rest, it still doesn't work, does it? I'm guessing, in your brain. And honestly, I have to say, to some degree, on a physical level, it doesn't make sense in my brain either, a yoke. So let's get into it. What in the world is he talking about? Well, in order to answer this, we have to go to a different part of Scripture. So there's this book called Hebrews, really great book. Author writes this, and the reason that he writes this book, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, is to encourage Christians. There's a bunch of Christians, brand new Christians, they've just chosen Jesus, they've taken on the yoke, but things aren't going great. And so the author of Hebrews writes to them, this brand new group of Christians, and says, hey, I want to remind you of some things about Jesus. So let me summarize what Hebrews chapter 3 is. Hebrews chapter 3, basically, the author is saying, Jesus is awesome. That's the summary. It's a very significant paraphrase because the chapter's pretty long. But essentially, the author of Hebrews, by the way, we don't know who the author of Hebrews is, but the author is saying, Jesus is awesome. Moses, he actually mentions Moses. Moses is really awesome, but Jesus is more awesome. I kid you not, you can read chapter 3, and he's saying these things. Not using the word awesome, of course. That's Brent's language. Because I'm wearing a pineapple shirt with, you know, sunglasses. Jesus is awesome. And then he goes into chapter 4. The author writes chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4. And in chapter 4, the author begins to explain that God can give us this special, amazing rest. It's the kind of rest that you can't get anywhere else. You can't get it from sitting. You can't get it from going on vacation. You can't go to Disney. You can't go to the beach. I can't even go to the mountains and get this. I have to get it. You have to get it from God. This rest comes from God. God is the only one that has it, and he's the only one that can give it. This special, amazing rest. And I want to read for you what the author says in these three verses about rest, because he shares something that's really important to what Jesus said about the yoke. It's not going to make sense right away, but we'll get there. Here we go. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. The author says, so there is a special rest, still waiting for the people of God, for people who choose Jesus. For all, that's anyone, anybody has this option, anybody can choose, for all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. He's talking about that seventh day Sabbath rest. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, now he's referencing the Old Testament, we will fall. Now, quick summary. He says there's this special rest. It's available to everybody. Everybody in here, we have access to this special rest. But we have to follow, yoke ourselves with Jesus, with God, in order to see that rest. And it literally says in this here, it says that we need to do our best. We need to do all these things. And the word that we translate into the word rest is a Greek word. And this Greek word means this amazing rest that's so deep, you can't really even explain it. It's not rest like, let me sit down. It's not rest like, let me take some time to sleep. It's not it's rest where you and your soul and your relationship with God and everything else around you maybe is not perfect, but everything is good. I don't know if anybody in here, if you've ever experienced this. Have you ever experienced a moment where even though everything wasn't perfect, in that moment, you just felt this warmth, this peace where you just go, everything's good for right this second. Have you ever experienced that? I've experienced that a few times. Not a lot, but a few times. That's the kind of rest that God wants us to experience all the time. All the time. Constantly, because we're connected to his spirit, to his presence. And this is what the author of Hebrews is saying. And it says this, it says rest in this Greek word. It means this deep-seated soul rest that you can't get anywhere else. Okay, I shouldn't, but let me dig in for a minute. Actually, I should. I just feel bad. Okay, can you tell? You could tell my brain went there, and then I was like, oh, man. Okay, so a lot of people, you might not like what I'm about to say. You can't get this rest from yoga. I am not saying yoga's bad. Okay, some of you love your yoga mat, and you love your yoga. It's fine. You cannot get this rest from yoga. You cannot get this rest from your recliner. You cannot get this rest from going on vacation another 7 times this year. We try that. We do. Don't deny. You cannot get this rest from getting to the weekend faster. Friday! Yes! Right? We can't do that. This is the kind of rest that can only come, can only flow from God through Jesus and his Holy Spirit. Now, I want to go back. And then the author of Hebrews says, there's a special kind of rest. It's available to all of us. All of us have availability. Okay? We all can have it. And then the author of Hebrews says this in verse 11. He says, so let us do our best to enter that rest. Okay. Now, we're going to leave that up there for a minute. I use the New Living Translation, part translation of the Bible, on Sunday mornings. You guys know that. I've mentioned that so many times before. The reason we do that is because it's one of the best translations that's also very accurate and understandable. It makes sense to our English language, okay? So we use the New Living Translation on Sundays pretty much, almost, not exclusively, but most of the time. That doesn't mean we don't look at and we don't study and we don't read from other portions. We do. But here's what I want to do. This translation, New Living Translation, for this particular phrase is okay. I'm not saying the scripture's okay. I mean, the scripture's perfect. It's great. But I'm just saying this particular translation, New Living Translation, is okay. We need to give it some oomph. You know what I'm saying? Oomph. We need some oomph. Okay? So here's what I want to give it some oomph with. I want to give you four other translations of the exact same phrase. This is a New Living Translation. Let me give you four more. Okay, here we go. New International Version. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. King James Version. Some of you are like, woo, woo. Love the King James Version, right? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. New King James Version. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. And then the English Standard Version. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Are you noticing a theme? Make every effort. Work hard at it. Labor at it. Make it happen. Diligent. You've got to work. Get out of the chair. Get off of your vacation. Get after it. And let's go find some rest. Does anybody get the sense that like this finding God's rest is a lot of work? I'm going to need rest after I try to get God's rest. Anybody feeling that way? I'm with you. Because every translation, do your best, strive for it, work for it, go after it, start running, let's go. And it's like, man, I'm tired just learning about God's rest. I don't know if I want God's rest. So what in the world is God saying? What is Jesus saying? They're saying something really, really important. He's saying, if you want my rest, you do have to do something. You're going to have to work for it. Some of you are like, I didn't think we could earn our salvation. You can't. But when it comes to rest, there's one thing you have to do. It's your work if you want rest. What is that work? Go back to what Jesus said at the end of what I read before. Matthew 11:30. Remember what he said? He said, "For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." You know what Jesus' work is that he wants you to do? If you want rest, it's really simple. Take on his yoke. That's literally all you have to do. It's not like you have to put an 8 and 10, 12-hour day. That's not the kind of work. When we hear the word work, strive, labor, we're like, hard. Ugh. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, yes, there's work to do, but the work is choose me. That's your work. Can you choose me? Can you just do the work of choosing me? Jesus says. Choose me. That's your work. That's it. If you choose to yoke yourself with me, I can give you rest. And I think we need to catch this. That work of yoking ourselves with Jesus then filters through and helps solve literally everything else, all of our work. You won't have to work as hard. That coworker, I've mentioned those a few times because I've heard a lot of stories about your coworkers. Some of you come and commiserate with me about your coworkers. How do I deal with this? We have those conversations, don't we? Okay, your coworker, it's not that they're miraculously, when you yoke with Jesus, all of a sudden they become the best human being on planet Earth. That's not going to happen. But you know what's going to happen? You're going to start viewing your coworker in a different way, and all of a sudden, the things that they do are not going to affect you because you are yoked with Jesus, and now you can rest easy when you go to work and when you leave work because that coworker, even though they may not get it, you're yoked with Jesus, and it's like, okay, we're all good. You might even start praying for your coworker. You might even start praying for your neighbor that never mows their lawn on time. I wouldn't know. I know I don't have any of those. Jesus offers us rest, and he says, all your work has to do. This is your only work. It's easy. It's light. Just say yes to be yoked with me. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, but at the end of that Hebrews passage that I read, did you notice the author just kind of, he says, there's a special rest. It's available to everybody. You need to do this. We need to strive for it. We need to work for it. We need to go after it. Don't worry. The burden is easy. It's light. It's no problem. And then there's this one phrase at the end where he kind of shoots a warning out. Did you guys catch that? There's a warning at the end of that passage in Hebrews. Listen to this. Let me just read it. 9:11. He says, but if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. He's calling out the people of God, the Israelites. He's saying in the Old Testament, what they did is they chose not to be yoked with Jesus several times. And as a result, you know what happened? They lost that connection with God. They lost that connection with Jesus. They lost that rest. And they got so messed up. This is why rest is so important. We get messed up. We start become disillusioned with everything else. And you know what the Israelites did at one point? They actually wanted to go back to Egypt to slavery because they didn't want to be yoked with God. They rejected God, the yoke with God, and so they wanted to go back and be slaves in Egypt. How in the world does that make any sense? It doesn't, and it's because they rejected Jesus. And the Hebrews, the author of Hebrews is warning us. He's saying, but be careful, yoke yourself with Jesus, but if you don't yoke yourself with Jesus, it's disobedience. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like that word. I like to use that word when somebody else is wronging me, but not when I'm doing the wrong. I am very quick to call out my kids when they disobey. I'm less quick when I disobey. Anybody with me on this? I can call out my kids. I can call out somebody else when they disobey. Right now, I see that. That's clear. But when I'm the one that disobeys and somebody calls me out and I go, wait a minute. I wear pineapples with sunglasses on them. I'm cool. More insidious thought, who are you to tell me I'm the pastor? Right? All of us have those though, don't we? Right? Some of you don't use the pastor card. You're like, hey, I unloaded the dishwasher yesterday. You can just back off. We all have them. They're all there, ready to play. Because we don't like the word disobedience, and Jesus is calling us, the author of Hebrews is calling us saying, listen, you've got a yoke with Jesus, and if you don't, it's disobedience. You will fail to achieve God's rest. Don't disobey. Don't reject him like the Israelites did. Stay with him. So 3 years ago, I gave a sermon on this same passage of Jesus in Matthew about the yoke. 3 years ago. And I had to do a little bit of searching to find it, but I took a screenshot. So let me just show you this. Here's a screenshot of that. This is a very becoming photo of me, right? It's very flattering. Can I just say one of the worst parts, I'm serious, about being a pastor is I have to see myself and hear my voice all the time, like through my phone and all the, I'm like, ugh. Our podcast will every now and then connect to my car as soon as I turn it on and I hear my voice. I'm like, no, because it's me. I'm like, oh, who's that guy? I kid you not. My kids know this. I'll hit pause. I'm like, hit it. Pause. I want to hear myself. But here's the deal. I want to show that because I made a yoke 3 years ago. I tore it apart, so I didn't bring it. And somebody's like, well, where is it? I didn't keep it. Okay, so I'm showing you a picture. But I made a yoke. And here's why this is important. If you know, a yoke is not for one, a yoke is for two. You have to be yoked with something. In fact, let me be a little bit more clear. You are yoked with something today. We always are, because that's how life is. You are yoked with something. The question is, are you yoked with Jesus? You have bound yourself to something. The question is that Jesus? Because here's the deal. When we yoke ourselves with Jesus, here's what's beautiful about this. It causes our direction to move in the way that it's supposed to go. All of a sudden, wherever Jesus is going, we have to go there. If I'm yoked with Jesus, if I truly am yoked with Jesus, I can't be like, you know what, Jesus? I'd actually prefer to go over here. I don't want to plant a church in Wisconsin. I'd actually prefer to work with that team in Spearfish, South Dakota, and I'm talking to the pastor now, and there's some possibilities there. And that's in, like, I can hike every day in, like, small mountains. I'd prefer to do that, God. And Jesus is like, no. Here we go. Wisconsin. When you're yoked with Jesus, it brings this direction, but it also, catch this, brings you extra power and protection. I love how Psalms put this. Psalms 91, listen to this. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High, that's God, will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty, again, God. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. I trust him. Who do you trust? I'm about to get offensive again. I called out your yoga mat, so I think we're okay now. If you're trusting in yourself, you've chosen a too small foundation for your life. And by the way, in American culture, oh man, we believe that very well. We package it differently. We say, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. You can be anything. Really? You're going to set the foundation of the truth of the world on your opinion? I don't know about you, but you're not that good. And just so that we're clear, I mean, clearly look at what I'm wearing today. I'm not that good. I'm serious. I'm not that good. Don't take my word for it. I've said this 100 times. Take God's word for it. Do not take my word for it. Even everything I've said today, do not just take it at face value. Dig in for yourself and see what everything that I've just said today is true. I'm serious. Do it. Check me on it. Because I don't have the monopoly on this either, but Jesus does. Jesus does. And God calls us to do this. Rest is not something that happens when we have no problems. It's not. Rest is not the absence of problems. It is rest in the midst of the storm. Rest in the midst of the problems. So let me illustrate this. Remember that Hebrews passage where he says, rest is available, just make sure you go after it, okay? He was encouraging. Remember, the author was writing to brand new Christians who were struggling with something. You know what they were struggling with? Okay, let me unpack this. More history than maybe you want to know, but let me just give it to you. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews was written around 70 AD, the year 70 AD. That's when it was written. Do you know what happened in the 60s AD? Like from 60 to 70 AD? So leading up to and happening around the time when Hebrews was written, it was a really bad time for Christianity. Let me just unpack it for you, okay? This is actually what was going on, okay? Hear me. Paul, the Apostle Paul, like the one who writes 2/3 of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is imprisoned twice in Rome. The second time he's martyred, killed because of his faith. Not killed just because they didn't like him, killed because he follows Jesus. Peter, you know Peter, the one who walked on water with Jesus? That Peter, martyred for his faith in Rome. In the middle of the 60s AD. Keep going. One of the biggest fires in all of history. It's known as the Great Fire of Rome, right in the middle of the 60s, right? And 64 AD, I believe it was. Huge fire destroys 2/3 of the city of Rome. 10 out of the 14, I can't remember what they call them, wards, I can't remember. 10 out of the 14 are almost completely destroyed. You know what happens? Emperor Nero, who's actually historically crazy, he decides to blame the Christians, and so he sends them to be tortured and martyred for their faith by the hundreds and by the thousands. Right after this, the Jews and the Romans get into a battle, into a war, and the Romans come in and destroy the city of Jerusalem and the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, wiped out. Let me just say, the Hebrews, this author is promising God's rest, not in the midst of everything is good, but actually in the midst of, this is one of the worst seasons for Christianity ever. Just so that we're clear, as Christians today, this is a cakewalk for us as Christians compared to what they were going through in the 60s AD. Cakewalk. And the author of Hebrews is saying, God's rest is still available to you. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but our world has a few problems. Has anybody noticed? I'm guessing you have. Our world has conflict everywhere. There's threats of wars constantly. The upheaval through social media, division, arguments, issues. That's on a global scale. And then there's all the stuff locally, and then there's all the stuff in your life, and then there's all the coworkers, neighbors, and all that stuff. I've made fun of that, but seriously, we are facing conflict in our family, conflict in our marriage, conflict at work, conflict in our neighborhood. We're facing problems, we're facing issues, we're facing decisions. Some of you are facing major health stuff. And Jesus says to you and to me, he says, it's okay. My rest is still available. I just want you to choose me. Just get yoked with me, and we're going to do this together. I want you to stop doing it alone. Let's do this together. And just so that we know, God's rest doesn't come the same what other types of rest is. It doesn't come from sitting down. In fact, it has nothing to do with really physical for the most part. It definitely affects the physical, but it's spiritual, it's soul. And let me try to illustrate this. So as I said, we're getting ready to leave early tomorrow morning to go to NTS camp. And let me just say, NTS camp is one of the least physically resting opportunities for any of us. I kid you not. Let me illustrate this. Okay, I found this picture. I'm glad I did. But I took a picture of my watch that tracks all my stuff from 2 years ago. That was 5 days. Almost 110,000 steps, 50 miles, 40 flights of stairs. And just, you know what I'm angry about? The watch did not capture how much sleep I didn't get either. Like, that needs to be on there somewhere. This is one of the most physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually demanding weeks that we will have this year. Don't talk to me on Friday night. If you have to, it's okay. I might not be worth much, but you can. Physically not restful, but can I just tell you this? On a spiritual level, from a God's rest level, it is going to be the most restful thing for myself, for our adults, for the students. I promise you, because they're going to walk away knowing more of who God is, being more fully connected to God, and being more yoked with Jesus, because you can't help it. You know why? Because we literally take everybody's phones. You can't be connected to the rest of the world. You are stuck with us and Jesus on this campus. And for 5 days, we have a lot of fun, and we wear yellow, and we worship Jesus. And we see unbelievable things happen. Did you know that we've had more people called to ministry at the week of NTS camp than we've had the entire existence of our church for 15 years? You know why? Because everybody gets really serious about saying, okay, I need to be yoked with Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, you do. We all do. And so it's not about the physical rest, it's about the spiritual rest. Then one of the best things you can do is say, I'm going to be yoked with Jesus. So that's what this week is about. That's what this week should be about for you. Some of you are like, well, I'm not wearing yellow. I'm not going to NTS camp. It doesn't matter. Jesus is everywhere. Jesus is in the Indiana right now. He's ready, right? But he's not leaving with us. He's not hopping on the bus. We don't have a seat for Jesus. We don't need a seat for Jesus. Jesus is in every seat. Some of you are like, that's weird. That's the way it is. You can have rest with Jesus. It's offered to you. The question is, will you say yes? Will you choose to be yoked with Jesus? And so what we're going to do is we're going to end today. We're not even going to sing a song. Our songs are done. Band's not even going to come up here. We're just going to end our service by praying for everybody who's going to NTS camp. And I hope that this morning is not the only time you pray for them. We're going to pray right now publicly with everybody. We're going to gather everybody up here. We're going to pray for everybody, but keep praying because God is moving. God is working. God's going to do great things this week. I know that. It's not a question. It's just what he's going to do. So here's what I want to do. If you are a leader going to NTS camp, there's only a couple of you in here, I think. There's a few of you in here. Why don't you come up here and just stand in front of everybody? I know you love to do that. Come on. Come on on. Come on. Come on. Right up here. Right up front. Right here. Yep. Right there. There we go. I knew there were a few of you in there. All right. So, these are five of our leaders. This is not even half of our leaders. I'm involved too. I get to be with these guys. Okay. But these are just not even half of our leaders. We have a ton of leaders going, which is awesome. Several more will be here for second service. And I just want you to know that all of these guys, Laura too a little bit, but all these guys, you don't know what I'm going to say. My wife is awesome. I love my wife. She's amazing. But all of these guys have given up a week of their pay and work and paid time off, PTO, vacation time, in order to go spend the most physically demanding, exhausting week of their lives. Yeah. Catch this. We have one leader that actually can't come for the first day because he signed up for PTO and all that stuff. But he's out of it. He has no more. And so he literally can't go the first part of the first day. And so he's going to show up the second day and be there. I mean, he was already ready to go. But he literally has used up all of his PTO in order to do this. It's gone. That's huge. This is massive sacrifice. Okay. Students. You're next. So if you're a student and you're going to NTS camp, come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Stand. Yeah, give them a hand. Stand in front of the leaders here, just all the way across. Again, this is literally like, I think, a third of who we're taking. We're taking over 80 people down. We started with four cars the first year with four leaders driving. That was dangerous. Let me just say that, especially on Friday. And now we're up to two full coach buses. God is moving, I'm telling you. Okay? So this is just like a third of the people. This is not even close to everybody. But we're going to take over 80. And so what I want to do is I want to pray. So before we do that, students and leaders, why don't you guys spread out a little bit to kind of go wider? Carson, go wider. Yep, Coop, go that way. Awesome. And you guys just spread out. Parents, if you have a student up here, I need you to come up and join and just kind of put your hands on these guys, all right? So come on up. Come on up. Don't be shy. I know you love being in front of people. All right, come on up. All right? Get behind your kid. All right? Leaders, just find a person, okay? Kenneth, come over here with the Hades. You've become one of them now. All right? It's awesome. His parents have to serve in the kids' ministry all morning, so he's just here. All right, yeah, come on over. Now scoot over. I spread you out too much. Okay? Isn't this awesome, though? And this is a third of who's going. Right? It's amazing. Okay. All right, so this is not the only time that you're going to do this, but we're going to pray for them right now. So I want everybody to join with me in this. I'm going to pray for us, but would you just do what we usually do, reach out your hands toward them and just join us as we pray for them, because God's going to do amazing things, all right? Let's pray. God, I thank you for all the students that are getting ready to head out to NTS camp. We're leaving early tomorrow morning and we're going to hit it for 5 days, and everything is about you. We're going to have fun. We're going to wear yellow. God, you already know all that. And we're going to shout. We're going to run. We're going to play sports. We're going to have competitions. We're going to do obstacle courses. We're going to get sprayed with water. All that stuff is going to be amazing, God. But the most amazing thing is that we get to praise and sing and worship you and listen to your voice for 5 straight days without other distractions. God, I pray that you would move, challenge, wreck us in a new, fresh way this week. May you speak to every single student, every leader, every parent that is up here. Every person in this room matters to you, God. We know that they matter to you. But now we're giving you this week to do whatever you want to do. Speak to us, move on us, challenge us, and do what only you can do. We look forward to people who are going to give their life to you, maybe for the first time. We're going to look forward to people who are called into ministry. We're going to look forward to just jumping and shouting. We're going to get crazy for you for 5 days, God. Thank you for this opportunity to totally focus on you for 5 days. Move, shake, challenge us. Thank you for choosing us first, God. Now we want to choose you. This week is yours. And we pray and we ask all of this in the amazing, matchless name of Jesus. And all of the church said together, amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. All right. So be praying. We leave tomorrow morning on 2 big buses. And you guys are now ready to go out of here. Be praying for us. God is with you. Take God's rest. We'll see you next week. Love you. Bye.